Evening and welcome.
Evening.
Usually we say he's alive, but tonight I heard people say we're still alive. Both is good news.
That's right.
We're happy for it and glad that we can be together. It's nice to be back in the building, and I trust we stay this way. Everyone's healthy and well, and doing good, and enjoying life and God's presence in our lives. Well, I look forward to worshiping together tonight, whether you're joining us on Zoom or here in person, and we're glad we can be together and worship God. So let's begin with prayer, and then let's sing. Father in heaven, we thank you so very, very much that we can be together and worship you tonight. And as always, it's wonderful that you're in a good mood. You're kind, you're generous, you're full of love and mercy and grace. You're also just and holy and incredibly awesome. And so it's you, Almighty God, that we come to bow before and to worship and to lift your name high and in our lives above every other name. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful for all that you accomplished while you were here and continue to do as you intercede for us with the Father and as you made it possible for us to be in right relationship with yourself, with the Father, and sending Holy Spirit to be among us. So we welcome you tonight, Holy Spirit, and just invite you to show us, Father, in fresh ways, in ways maybe we've never experienced him before, so that his name will be lifted high. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing. Great songs. Thank you, Jeremy. I think you were reading over my shoulder as I was getting the message ready for tonight again. Yeah, Holy Spirit has a way of doing that. Yeah, I went into the Word with one idea for a message, came out with two, at least. So I promise not to preach them both tonight. Do one tonight, one next week. So we'll see how it goes. But in the meantime, what's God been doing in your life? How has he been making waves, or who has a word of praise, a word of testimony, prayer, concern?
Well, I'm happy to say that Monokin is open for admissions.
All right. First time since who knows when. That means the COVID count is way down.
Right.
Good. Praise the Lord. Do we have anybody on Zoom?
I don't see anybody at the moment.
I didn't either. That's why I asked.
Can I
ask you? Sure.
We are recruiting people for a class called Bridges Out of Poverty. It is geared for people who are living in poverty either generationally or because of a particular situation. And we need help recruiting participants for this class. There's a financial incentive to attend. It has the potential to be pretty life-changing for some people. So we're looking for participants.
And Janelle and I will be leading this class. And it's exciting.
Here at the church.
Here at the church. One evening a week. And for 12 weeks, I believe.
16
sessions. For 16 weeks. Okay. And if you know of someone, have them call us, or it doesn't have to be one person that's here. And we are taking applications. So not everyone who applies necessarily gets in, but we welcome participants. Inquire. Is that good?
Is that okay?
All right. And I talked to a business person who's interested in potentially helping to sponsor that. I don't know how much money that would be, but every amount helps. So.
My family wasn't sick this weekend.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You're able to be with us. All of our families were not sick this weekend and were able to be with us. That's great. Yeah. God is good. All right.
Josiah and I are preparing for baptism in 2 weeks.
Yes, 2 weeks will be, we're planning. I have to say we're planning to have a baptism service on our Sunday evening service, which will include communion at the end of the service. You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're welcome to participate in that communion. And we'll be having guests, especially family of Josiah and Anna, coming for that. And perhaps a guest speaker. Looking forward to a good time. So. All right, well, let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lydia, do you want to pass the basket tonight? Amen. That's a good word. Thank you, Jeremy. Anyone interested in the children's story? Wow. That's good. Hi.
Hi.
Anybody having
it?
Okay, for the 1,000th time tonight. Oh my. I better stop saying hi. I better find something else to say, like bye. Oh, we're not ready for that yet, are we?
No.
No. We just want to keep saying hi, 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 hi. All right. I'd like to have you think about something for a minute. Do you remember when you had something to do that was just really hard? You thought maybe it would be even impossible to do? What was it?
Getting a dog.
Oh, getting a dog. Yeah.
And then having a dog.
And then having a dog. Yeah. That would be impossible. At my house. Oh, yeah. I mean. What is something? Clean up all the sticks after a hurricane in your house. Yes, that would be really, really hard to do. Okay? Well, we can think of things that were really hard to do. Sometimes schoolwork might be hard to do. And when schoolwork is hard to do, or when cleaning up the sticks in the yard after the hurricane is hard to do, or when getting a dog is hard to do, or something's really hard to do, how do we do it? We get help from our siblings. We work hard. We get help from our parents. Yeah. We do it because we get rewards. Okay. He didn't say money, he said rewards. Money is a reward, though, isn't it? Sometimes a hug or a kiss is a reward. Did you know that? Yeah. Oh, he's getting notes, so they're just common. Okay. I want you to think about some times in the Bible when people had something really hard to do. Can you think of examples of that?
Build an ark.
Build an ark. Okay, that would be one. Nehemiah building the wall. Okay. How about getting the animals to come into the ark?
Yeah.
That'd be hard too, wouldn't it? Yeah. How about what? Yeah, getting the animals in their pens. How about getting the people out of Egypt? That was hard, wasn't it? So when people in the Bible found something that was really hard to do, but they knew God wanted them to do it, what did they do? They did it, but just like you did it when you couldn't do your homework by yourself, or you did it when you couldn't get a dog by yourself, or you did it when you couldn't pick up the sticks by yourself, they got help, didn't they? Where did their help come from? It came from God. It came from Jesus. Yes. And did you know that when God has something for us to do that seems really hard, he'll help us? Yes, he will. All we have to do is ask him. And we do that by praying. And it's fun to see how God helps us do things that we didn't think we could do. Like pastor a church. Oh, who did that?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you love us and that you have a plan for our lives that is just awesome. It gives us hope. It gives us a future, purpose, meaning. And you're in it. And I know that you have plans for these children that by themselves they couldn't possibly accomplish. But with you in their lives and your help, they can do it so easily because they trust you. And I pray that as they continue to grow, that they will be better able to hear and understand what you're asking them to do and see ways that you're helping them do it. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks for your good attention today. I meant to mention earlier, if you notice, all the Advent lights are on. That's because Advent's over. Jesus has been born, and that's good. Next week, it'll be Advent now. And I'm sorry, it's Epiphany in the church calendar, not here tonight. Epiphany is when Jesus showed up. It's the time right after Christmas. So, in case you wondered about that. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1. And that's where we'll start. Now, the story picks up after the death of Moses. And just to, in a thumbnail sketch, catch you up with Moses, God had a plan to make a people that would be a great nation. He promised that to Abraham, that his descendants would be a great nation, and that the whole world would be blessed by that nation. And that was a statement that the Messiah would come through the descendants of Abraham. So to be a nation, we need three things. We need people, we need a government, and we need land. And so God called Abraham to be the father of these many nations, and he had one son, Isaac, that was born to Sarah, his wife. And then he had an illegitimate son that was another story. And through Isaac, God multiplied the generations, and he had a people. And they went to Egypt, and they became slaves to Pharaoh. So we had a people, but we didn't have a government. We didn't have a land. And through God's mighty work, he delivered the slaves out of the bondage of Egypt and took them into the wilderness to prepare them to go into the land that he had promised them. And there in the wilderness at Mount Sinai, God met with Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments, which was a covenant between God and his people. That became the government. So now we had people and we had a government, but the only land we had was the promise of land that God would give them. And so that's kind of where we pick up the story. We pick up the story. Moses was the great deliverer of Israel out of Egypt. He's the one that God used to perform the signs and wonders that caused Pharaoh to say, get out of here, go away. We don't want to see you anymore. And then he thought better of it, and they chased him to the Red Sea. And Moses led the people through the Red Sea with God's help. And the Egyptian army was destroyed there. And then through the wilderness, they went for 40 years because of sin in their camp and their lives. And now, they're at the end of that 40 years. Moses has died. And now Joshua is called to take the place of Moses. And that's where we pick up the story. Joshua is about to lead the children of Israel into the promised land so that they can take control of it. And now they'll be a complete nation. They'll have people, they'll have a government, and they'll have land. So that's where we pick up the story. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun. Now, in story told about the man in the Bible who didn't have a father. And that was Joshua. He was a son of Nun. Only they spell it N-U-N instead of N-O-N-E. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide. So Joshua had training. Okay, he'd been a helper to Moses for these years. So God spoke to him, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. You know, it's interesting how God announces Moses' death. It wasn't, now we're going to take 30 days of mourning. It was, Moses is dead, now you're going to lead the people. Okay. That doesn't mean we couldn't grieve when someone passes. We should grieve. And I didn't say it for that reason, but it just struck me as interesting that it was all business the way it's presented here. He says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Wow. What a promise to Joshua. You know, when God makes a declaration like this, pardon me. When God makes a declaration like this, he means it. And it's forever.
Wait, when I inhaled, it just went down wrong. So I apologize. God made this promise to Joshua for his whole life. And we can depend on God's word. When he makes promises to us, he keeps them. And the promise that he made to Joshua to be with him is a promise that I believe he makes to us, to be with us. God doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He's with us through thick and thin. He's there for the good times and the hard times. He's there for the joyous times and the grievous times. He's present. He's with us. And he gives us victory after victory. God never led his people into defeat, only into victory. Now, there were times that Israel lost battles when we look at the conquest, but we see it was because either of sin or they didn't listen to God's direction. And every time they followed God and did it God's way, it was victorious without sin. And the promise to be with Joshua the way he was with Moses was no small thing. Remember, Moses knew the ways of God. He didn't just know God. And Moses was the one that went up into God's presence. And now Joshua has these same promises to carry him through. And I invite you to think back to the promises God's made to you. And do you keep them in your mind? Or do you keep them at a place where you can refer back to them? And then you can be strengthened and encouraged when a hard time comes? Or when you begin to wonder, how am I going to handle this? Oh, that's right. He said he'll never leave me or forsake me. He said he'll be with me just like he was with Moses. He said I'm going to have every place my foot lands. I'm going to have, it's mine. So, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. What an awesome promise. For generations, they were in slavery for 400 years. And before that, the promise of the land was given. So for more than 500 years, I'm going to say, the promise of land was there, but it was not appreciated. It was not received. It was not experienced. Generations lived looking forward to the land, and they died still not seeing the land. But now, Joshua, you're the one that I have chosen to take the people into the land, to accomplish what I've promised for all these generations. What has God promised to us that we're doing for this generation that has been wanted to be done for generations before? He goes on, he says, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Well, as Christians, we should be courageous. Love of God should be so much in us that people are drawn to it and they want more of what we've got. And may they never recover. And may we never recover from our experience of God's love. But in this case, God was saying, be strong and very courageous. Be careful, listen to this, to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, here's the word. Okay, we don't live under the law anymore the way Israel did. But God's word needs to be in our hearts and in our minds, and it needs to be in front of us every day. And we need to live by it and not turn from it to the left or to the right. We need to allow God's word to speak truth into my life so that I'm living a life that's pleasing to God. And as I'm doing that, God is blessing me. He's prospering me. He's with me. And he's promised that I will overcome, that I will be victorious because of that. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Wow. 3 days. 3 days to victory. 3 days to the promise being fulfilled. 3 days. The disciples lived for 3 days that were extremely dark. They seemed hopeless. It was from Good Friday when Jesus died. For 3 days. Those were hard days. 3 days can be an eternity. 3 days can make you wonder, did God really mean it? Did I hear correctly? How can this be God? Where is God? But then Sunday came. Sunday came victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So 3 days. Oops, wrong button. Okay, now I want you to jump ahead. Joshua chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. Okay, so here they are camped next to the Jordan River. Now, across the Jordan, we can see the promised land. But between us and that land is a river. And we're going to read as we go on that this was harvest time. You know, God could have led the children of Israel into the promised land any time of the year he wanted to. But he chose harvest time. Why? Because the food was ready for them when they got in. They didn't have to wait 3 months for the crops to mature. They didn't have to plant. They didn't have to till the ground. They didn't have to water. They didn't have to pull weeds. All they had to do was go pick the fruit of the labor of their enemies and plunder the enemy's camp. And they had abundance. That's what was across the river. But there's something about the Jordan River at harvest time that's unlike any other time of the year. Anybody want to tell me what it is?
Floods.
At that time of the year, the Jordan River is at flood stage. It's as deep as it gets. It's rushing as hard as it rushes. It's as difficult to cross as it will ever be. So can you imagine, I'm following God, I'm doing everything he told me to do, I'm in the word, I'm studying, I'm obeying, I'm living life like I should, God promised to prosper me, he promised to provide for me, and now he leads me to the edge of this river that's at flood stage with the water rushing and says, all you gotta do is go across, the land's yours. And here I am without a bridge or any pontoons to build a bridge. No helicopters to ferry me over. No ferry vessel to take me across back and forth. Just me and my little feet. Well, some of us have bigger feet, but me and my feet. That's when you have to remember. Be strong and courageous, for I'm with you. I want to ask you a question. What's the Jordan River that you face? What keeps you from getting to the place that God's called you to be? What's getting you, keeping you from receiving the blessing that God's promised you? Maybe for years. We've all met them, and we may be facing them now. So here's what happened. They camped on the edge of the Jordan, and after 3 days, we've sat and looked at this river and pondered, how are we going to get across for 3 days? For some of us, it may be 3 years or 3 decades. But after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of God, of the Lord your God, and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. 2,000 cubits would be about 3,000 feet. Cubits about a foot and a half. So what's this about? What's so special about the Ark of the Covenant? Why can't you be close to it? You die. That's if you touch it. But yeah, the Ark of the Covenant was built for the tabernacle in the wilderness, and it was gold, and on top of it was what we call the mercy seat. And it's where God came and sat every year on the Day of Atonement to forgive the sins of the people. And the high priest was the only one that could go into the presence of God on that day after he had purified and cleansed himself. And they always kept bells on the ends of his garment so that he would have to keep moving while he was in there so they could hear the bells. And if the bell stopped, they knew that he was dead, because God can't have sin in his presence. You can't live in the presence of God with sin. And so they'd have a rope tied around his ankles so they could drag him out if he died, because nobody could go in and get him. So this is serious business. Now, this is the Ark of the Covenant. And it's leading before the people. It's going out ahead of them. They're to follow it. So what are they to follow? They're following God's presence, or the symbol of God's presence, at least. This was an incredibly important and valuable item to the children of Israel. This is something that they would defend at all costs, because this represented God's presence. And without God going before us, we can't get anywhere. We don't even know where to go. We've not been this way before. Okay? So, you know, we're going to the land across the river, but I don't know how to get there. But the ark will lead us. So Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves. Make yourselves holy. Set yourselves apart from sin and from the world. Dedicate, rededicate yourselves to the Lord. Because tomorrow, God's going to be among us. And God's going to be doing some awesome, awesome things. I invite you to accept that promise. What's God going to do for you tomorrow? And I don't mean the tomorrow that never comes. I mean when the sun comes up in the morning. What's God going to do for you? What are you believing for? What did he tell you he would do? I've been reading some interesting stories of angels and healing and how angels appear to people in the night while they're sleeping, whether it's in a hospital bed or wherever it is. And healing occurs because the angels showed up. And there's no rhyme or reason for it. Sometimes they're believers, sometimes they're not. But what's God promised to do for you in the morning? When the sun comes up. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. But it doesn't do any good to lead God somewhere. Because if we start leading God, we start telling God which way we're going and which way he's supposed to go, after a while we look around and say, where's God? Why isn't he with me? Why? Well, I don't lead God. God leads me. I don't know the way I'm going. I might think I know the way I'm going. And I might be headed to where I thought God told me to go, but that might not be where God told me to go. Or it may not be the way he wanted me to get there. You know, Israel went to the promised land, but it took them 40 years to get there. They could have got there in just a few weeks. But no, it didn't work that way. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, listen to this, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. Oh, yeah. Get in the river. You got the Ark? Go get in the river. Wait a minute, Joshua, are you sure you're hearing God? Don't you know what that ark is? Don't you know what it represents? Why are we taking it into the river? We can't afford to lose it. We lose the ark, we lose God. We lose God, we're destroyed. Joshua said to the Israelites, this is how you will know. Come here and listen to the words of the Lord, your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites, Muscovites, and all the rest. See the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. Now, before I read this next sentence, I want to think about this. We're to get in the river with the ark. We're to get in the river with God. Okay? That's a good place to be. Even when it's over your head. Because when we can't walk, then we need God to carry us. And when he's carrying us, we're definitely on the right direction. When I'm helpless, he's powerful. When he's leading, I'm in great hands. There's no safer place than to be in over our heads in the arms of God. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Did you hear that? As soon as the feet of the priests touch the water, the water rushing downstream will stop. Oh, no, just the water at the edge of that place will stop. And all the rest of the water coming down the stream will heap up behind it. We're talking about a mountain of water here. It's getting bigger all the time. And bigger all the time. And the only thing between it and the people are the priests and the Ark of the Covenant. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, which is what we've talked about. And as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away, at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarephath. While the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Wow. How do we get through that impossible river? We do it God's way. We follow his lead. You see, we get in the Word. We know the Word. We know God's heart. We know his ways. And we can follow him. We can know it's him that's leading. And sometimes we won't know it's actually him leading until our soles of our feet touch the water of the river and it separates. I can stand back and watch that river flow all day long, but until I step out, it's not going to open up. It takes faith, it takes trust. It takes seeing what God's done in the past, knowing he'll continue to do it in the present and in the future. And then trusting him. This is what you told me. This is what you promised. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." Now, why he wanted to take them to have them taken to Holiday Inn Express, I'll never know. But But he was to take them to the place they were going to stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Now, you know, when you think about picking up a stone, you think about just, you know, something the size of your fist. But no, no, no. These were stones that they were to carry on their shoulder. Maybe they were right-handed. But you don't take a rock the size of your fist and carry it on your shoulder. No, no. It's a rock you can hardly lift that you couldn't carry this way. You have to get it up on your shoulder to be able to manage it. We want big rocks. We want rocks that can be easily seen from a distance. And we want a dozen of them because there's a dozen tribes. Then we want to make a pile. We want to make a monument. We want to make an altar. A place where God is remembered. A place where our children are going to see it and look back and say, Daddy, Mommy, why are these rocks out here in the middle of the parking lot at Holiday Inn Express? Out here in the middle of nowhere. And then you're to tell them what God did for you. Have you built memorials of the times when God led you to a victory? Do you have something to look back on and say, I remember when? Did you write it down? Did you put it in a journal? Did you put it in your iPad or your phone or somewhere in your notes so that you can pull it up? And you can say, what's this? Oh, I remember. Or maybe you got a $5 bill tucked away in your Bible because it was a promise of God's provision in the future. Or maybe you've got a pressed flower in your Bible or in a book somewhere that reminds you of God's faithfulness. And he showed you that life comes after death when you saw that first spring flower and you kept it to remind yourself that death is not final. Or what was it that God showed you a victory and you kept something to remind yourself? Don't forget the things that God has done in your life. I heard a pastor say one time, those are faith trees that we plant in our backyard, those seeds that are memories. And they're faith trees that grow up. So when we look out, we see that tree. Oh, yeah, I remember. God delivered me from habitual sin. God provided life when I thought only death was coming. And yes, that pastor is sitting here tonight. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp. Oh, not Holiday Inn Express, to their camp. They were at a KOA campground, apparently. No, I'm sorry. They took them to their camp where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over. Nobody lagged behind getting across that river. The mountain of water getting higher and higher. They hurried over. But the priests with the ark stood there. I don't think they were afraid. As soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over ready for battle in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the covenant law to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And the priests came up out of the river, carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. God is faithful. We can trust him. And we should celebrate the victories that he gives us. Remember them. Reflect on them. Allow them to be encouragement and strength to your faith to continue on and take the next step when he calls you into the next position. And remember that when it looks too big for you to handle, it's just God's size. And he's promised not to give us anything we can't handle, but to be with us. And together, nothing can stop us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you're the awesome, awesome God of victory. You're the God of life, of the living. You're the God of grace and mercy and joy and peace, and comfort, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, compassion, tenderness. Wow. You are awesomely incredible. We give you glory and praise. Father, I thank you for the examples we have in your word of victorious living by following you. And I pray this evening that as we're here, that we'll be reminded and encouraged to trust you and walk with you as well. To renew our commitment to listening to your word, to listening to your voice, getting close to you, expressing our love and appreciation for you, worshiping you. May you be glorified because of our lives and our obedience and our faithfulness to you. Come, Holy Spirit. It's only with your help that we're able to remain faithful to our God. We desperately need you. We need you more every day. So come and keep coming, I pray, in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. God bless you with an awesome week. Part 2 next week.